The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Connie Kramer. She's with Integrit. I hope I said that right.
Yes, you did.
Cleaning and organizing service. We're going to be talking about seniors and other types of hoarding problems that they run into, and how you can help your family before any of this starts to happen, because it's always better to be proactive than reactive. So thanks for being with us, Connie.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks for having me in. At Integrit, some people call it Integrit. Integrit too.
Ooh, that's
Integrit.
A southern thing when you're into grits.
Yes. Our big thing is that, like you said, proactive. We see a lot of events that happen with families when they don't have any choices left. And so if we can help a few folks to be that proactive, to avoid some of the pitfalls of having to make rush decisions, then I'm all for it. Happy to help out with that.
I would imagine one of the biggest problems is that if you're dealing with somebody else, they're in denial that they don't need to make these preparations.
Yes.
And then it comes on real quick and you're caught looking.
I don't have to tell anybody that every single day we get older and
I've beaten that curve.
I like to think that we can do what we did when we were 20 and 30 and work half the night and keep going, but now it's like fatigue hits and
4 o'clock.
Yeah, and it's time to sit down, and getting back out of the chair is a lot harder than it used to be when you take a couple breaks. And our big thing with regard to senior citizens specifically today, or families dealing with downsizing, minimizing, whether it be for a move into a different kind of a facility, a smaller home, even if they have to go into assisted living, is if you can hoard off some of these choices, ward them off before you have to be pinched and make rash decisions, it's a better thing.
Well, and you might be in the middle of a whole other issue when this crops up. I mean, there could be a medical issue that they have to recover from. And, you know, if you don't have things like powers of attorney and your wishes, good things happen, all of these ducks in line, family gets caught looking.
Yes. We run into situations where there's good situations and bad situations. And a good situation might be where a family is bringing grandma and grandpa closer to be where they live so that they can be their support system. And so they may have to sell or downsize their home, and then they move into or nearby the son or daughter. And that could be a move across states. It could be a move anywhere in Michigan. They could go anywhere. Or we've even had happy situations where they've actually remodeled a cottage or an actual apartment in their existing home, and those senior citizens actually then have dinner with that family. They rock the kids to bed, before bed, read them stories. They're truly integrated in a home family situation. I think those kind of situations are just exceptional, and they're happy. Then we're forced to see some of the situations where maybe there was a stroke or a heart attack, or someone has dementia, and for their safety, they have to be moved to a different living facility, whether it's an assisted living, whether it's a group home, or perhaps maybe they even passed away. And then you have this home and its contents there that have to be liquidated. And unfortunately, a lot of seniors, if we're working with seniors who have to liquidate because they're forced to move to a assisted living facility, they are angry. They feel there's a lot of emotions involved because this is their entire life, basically looking them in the face and, what am I going to do with my stuff?
Well, it also is a smack in the face that I'm not going home.
Yes.
That's the other part of it is, you know, there's that reality that has to set in that, you know, we're getting rid of the stuff because you're not coming back here.
Yes.
And we need to sell. And really, anytime you move, you do downsizing. people move, they, oh, I don't really need this and stuff. But this takes it to another level.
Yes.
Because this is basically the whole person's life.
You are not going to see great grandma's dishes again. You know, her entire silverware set or crystal or maybe
teacups.
Teacups. We've handled a lot of teacups. There's a lot of different ways that people can get, quote, rid of their things, from estate sales to garage sales, which are quite labor intensive, to donating or auctioning. We work with a couple auction services. And so there are ways. Some people feel like almost betrayed sometimes by family members because I saved this for my son forever and now he doesn't want it. Or this was part of my family for five generations and now no one wants it.
Or you have the reverse, that everybody wants this and they're fighting.
Yes.
And it can tear families apart.
Yes. We had a situation a few years back where there was four siblings. And it was a two against
two.
You say
siblings because none of them acted like adults.
Yes, it was a bad situation. There were some significant things missing from Grandma's house. Grandpa's World War II medals, money, some high-end jewelry pieces, and actually ended up being a few more things than they were actually that they actually knew were gone. And as we were cleaning, we were prepping a home for the real estate sale, and I noticed a loose board. It was a piece of wood molding, and I thought, well, I better go get my hammer, and I'll just tack that back in there. And lo and behold, I kind of pulled apart because I thought it was a piece of a dry cleaning bag stuck on this closet molding. And so when I went to pull that dry cleaning bag out, the whole molding popped off, and there was a Ziploc bag in this little spot, and it had all of these family treasures in it. So I gave that bag to one set of the siblings that I was actually working with on the project, and I said, this was in your mom's closet, you know, and I explained to them where, and they looked at the things in the bag, and they just got this really, really funny look on their face. And when I said, is everything okay? They said to me, we have been blaming each other's kids for taking these things from Grandma. And I said, well, there you go. Go fix your family, because Grandma had it hid the entire time. So.
And you, I'm sure, can tell story after story about where things have been hidden. But that is, an old school, as seniors and I point to myself because I'm in that, but there are things we do that the younger people would never think of where you're going to hide stuff.
Yes.
And then even we forget where they're at.
Yes. We were at another job Grandma had hidden a bunch of money between paper plates. And so I just noticed a couple of them, and I thought, okay, I'm going to put this entire box. These plates are all going in this box. And I told the customer, the son who was handling the home, I said, you need to go through these paper plates. And he said, I don't want those paper plates. Just throw them away. And I said, you need to go through every single one of these paper plates. And when he did, he came back to me later on and told me that the total was $860. Wedged between paper plates. So, I mean, it was a fairly good sized stack of paper plates, but, you know, it was where, you know, the rainy day fund or whatever was put. And so.
This brings up something. Do families need to find a person within the family that everybody can basically trust for this type of stuff? Because, you know, you're talking about finding cash that nobody knew was there. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but there are some unscrupulous people who would go, yoink.
Mine. Yes. We have encountered those unscrupulous situations. We've had situations where Grandma or Grandpa have had their medication stolen for, I assume, sale of some kind.
And a lot of what they get is painkillers, which have a value in certain circles that are not legit.
And our procedure, our protocol, whenever we're doing a clean out, and that kind of, I digress to a little bit different tangent, but we had a veteran who had all kinds of unused medications, serious medications. He actually had an issue. He ended up in the hospital, and the way we were even pulled into the situation was he ended up in the hospital because he was lost. His medications were so messed up because he wasn't taking them correctly that we got called into the home because the health services world would not let him return home because of the condition of the home. So as part of cleaning up the home to get him returned back to the home, we found huge amounts of medications. So what we do, our protocol is that the minute we find all those, we put them in a bag or whatever, and the first thing I do is I call my local police department and I tell them I am en route back to our home shop and I am carrying medications, and I usually have them meet me at our shop and they dispose of all of those prescriptions correctly. So I want people to know that if we have to transfer from A to B, that we always make sure that the local police know what we have in our vehicle. And I am the only one in the company that handles that stuff.
So you're the one.
Yes. So anyway, getting back to the unscrupulous nature.
It's sad to say, but it rears its ugly head.
Yes.
More often than I think people realize.
There are some older folks who have planned on the value of some items that they've collected over the year to be kind of a cushion that they would either sell or maybe even pass on in their family. And they know that item or those items have that value, only to find out that some member of the family has already pilfered it. And then it's gone.
Because these are things that are not usually just left out.
Yes.
You know, a painting is one thing, but
yes.
Smaller items
yes.
that have value.
Coin but. Collections, jewelry, things like that. And I'm sad to say, but, you know, there's...
And I assume these unscrupulous people are just thinking they're going to forget where they put it.
Yes.
And think they're going to get away with
it. Yes. And we indeed do fall into some situations where if we're working with a dementia type situation, that grandma tells us one day, okay, I want that to go to donation, put that in the donation pile. And 2 days later, she'll say, I can't find it. Where did it go? You know, and we'll say to her, you wanted us to put it in the donation pile. And she's like, no, I don't. I want that. So hopefully we haven't loaded it and taken it to the 501c3 that it was going to. But if it has, then we have to, you know, kind of like walk her back through the situation.
Do people need to get somebody in there who can kind of appraise things? Because what I see as, you know, then you look on the Antiques Roadshow and all of a sudden this thing's
yes.
worth jillions, and it's like, what?
Well, I can't say enough. I'm certainly not an attorney, but I can't say enough about having a good estate plan in place and protecting your and anything that's super valuable should be addressed in that estate plan. And with the directions of where and how you want it to go to someone or at what point in their life, when I'm working with or giving speeches to senior citizen groups or groups in particular, and I really don't care what your age is, if you're downsizing something and you no longer want it, or if you expect your grandkids are going to want some of your things, my question to you is, have you made a memory with it? Why should it be valuable sentimentally or value-wise monetarily with someone in your family if you have not made a memory with it? So if you haven't set the table and taught your little granddaughters how to have a fun dining setting, why should they care about your dishes when they're 18 or 20 or even 30 and busy with their own life?
And it goes the other way too.
Because
yes. When my dad passed, you know, everything was kind of... The thing my sister wanted most was his toolbox. He had that in the garage when we were four and five years old, and we saw it throughout his entire life. That is what she really wanted to take back with her to Arizona, was the toolbox. That was Dad.
Yes.
I mean, it's other people wouldn't think of it that way, but
yes.
that's... But, You just need the one person
yes.
who thinks that way.
And that was all memory affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
We had a situation with an elderly lady about probably 4 years ago who had beautiful high-end furniture. A lot of mission and shaker and, you know, some elaborate type furniture, really something that would really sell. And she ended up being very heartbroken because she remembered how she acquired each piece and the work that went behind acquiring each piece. So what we did for her, because it had to go to sale, she was moving into an assisted living, we actually took pictures of all of her pieces of furniture and put them in a scrapbook for her. So she still had the memories that she could flip through, and it still activated her mind and kept her happy. And then it, of course, went to, certain pieces went to family members, but other pieces went simply to auction. And when they have to go to auction, sometimes they feel, the elderly people feel, oh, you know, my stuff is going to be sold. And I tell them, if someone's going to spend the money on this, they're buying it because they want it just like you wanted it. And it's going to have a new life making someone else happy. So that seems to help a little bit.
Well, we've been talking about some of these stories.
Yes.
But what should people just plop right down and do, just to avoid some of this? What are some of the things you would recommend? Do you need attorneys? Do you need, maybe if it's a hoarding thing, do you need to bring somebody in who's going to be able to help them get through it? I mean, there must be steps you have to take before you even get to the distributing of the,
yes.
of the items.
The first thing is probably what I would call an inventory, and It can be a kind of a rude and crude awakening, and it's being truthful and honest with what you have and what you really don't need anymore. And again, the realization that, you know, if I were not here tomorrow, what would happen to my stuff? And my dad always said that he never saw a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. You can't take it with you. So while you have the faculties, while you have it in your mind, where do you want your things to go? Who do you want to have your things? And I really like the theology that if you have something that means a great deal to you, give it to the person you want to have it now and watch them enjoy it. Watch them enjoy it. Watch it when you go and see their house and it's on their shelf. Watch them enjoy it. And if it's situations where there's things that family does not want or a niece or nephew does not want, then there's ways to appropriately get it out of your life. But less is more. My husband always says less is more. And
for these people, it would seem like a garage sale would be heartbreaking.
Yes.
You'd almost have to find a way to donate
yes.
to someplace rather than... than to sit out there all day long and bargain away your life.
Yes.
It seems like, you know, if you gave it to a church or to an organization that would help other families
yes.
that need things, that seems to be like that would be preferable to just watching everything you've collected
yes.
be sold piece by piece.
Yes. And there, as far as some things like some homewares, I'll say homewares. When COVID hit, our ability to donate just everything but the kitchen sink in some situations was limited because resale or let's say my own beloved Thumb Industries, I think the world of our local Thumb Industries, they couldn't take certain things because of COVID, maybe like pillows and certain household things. So that we had to rechange.
Properly. Clean
yes.
and sterilized to make
yes.
sure it's safe.
Which makes perfect sense. So when it came to, when it comes to things that there is a value, some things are not sale worthy, but they're certainly donation worthy. And those items, then when they're out of sight, they're out of mind, and it's like it clears your whole head. It's like it's gone. It's gone from there, and you can think and you can process the next thing. You asked about, you know, getting help. One of the big things I do when we first initiate a relationship with a customer is I go and sit with them and I find out what is your plan? What do you want to do? What's your timeline? And again, I go back to the timeline thing because it is the most crushing thing when you have only a few months and you have someone who's pushing that person that you have to get this house sold because the housing market's up. You got to get it on the market now. And we are looking at three stories full of stuff. And we ran into a situation a few years back where mom was in an assisted living, family was going to sell the home, home was full. They brought mom out for a visit while we were cleaning, and it was devastating. And in fact, I asked the daughter in charge to please, you know, take her out for lunch, take her back to the assisted living, because poor mom was sitting there crying as we were throwing things in a dumpster. And the things that we were throwing in the dumpster had been ruined in the basement with mold and mildew. But it didn't take the memory away from it, from her, and all she saw was her memories going in a dumpster. So when we work with hoarding people, it's kind of the same scenario. There's two types of hoarding. There's the collector hoarding, and then there's the filth hoarding. And it's very devastating because for some reason they have identified with those things, and it becomes like so stressful that in some cases they can even have a panic attack, a stroke, or a heart attack if it's too hard on them to see their things going away. So empathy is a huge, huge part of our business.
Is it difficult for people to see the reality?
Yes.
When my dad went into assisted living, they had a condo. My mom had already gone. And we were, you know, keeping it up and whatever. But it got to a point where we knew he wasn't going back. But the housing market, as you said, wasn't very great at that time. But we sat down and we talked to him and said, you know, you're not going to get as much, but as long as you're keeping it, you're paying insurance, you're paying the utilities every month, you're paying, you know, to the association fees, all of this stuff. And then you have to worry, you're not there all week, and I only come on the weekends, so it could be broken into, a water
yes.
pipe could break. Would it be better just to, you know, get what you can and not have to pay all these expenses down the road and make it up that way? Or, and he said, yeah, just, you know, sell it, put it on the market, see what we can get.
Yes.
Sometimes you just have to go with the reality and, mm-hmm. and not the grand hopes and dreams.
Yes. Sometimes I have to be brutally honest with people.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yes.
They don't like that.
No, and I don't. It's not my intention to hurt their feelings, but I always promise them that one thing I will tell them is the truth. And I try to, I never sugarcoat it because they've got to deal with the truth. And these are people who, many of them are part of that greatest generation. They've been through tough times. A lot of the reason that they save some of their things is because they've been through those tough times, and they know the value of a dollar, or at least what they had to sacrifice in order to have some of these things, like a home. One of the things we run into as seniors get a little bit older, especially if those seniors who do not have active family members in their life, is if something goes wrong with plumbing, it doesn't get fixed. If something goes wrong with electric, it doesn't get fixed. Maybe sometimes they can't get trash out. Little things start adding up, and then it becomes a safety issue, whether it's environmental or physical.
If it's a furnace, it leads to the mold and the other stuff that
yes.
you're dealing with some of the things
yes.
from the basement.
Yes, because they can't get around their home as well. They don't know that the sump pump quit, and there's 4 inches of water in the basement.
They just know it smells funny.
Yes, if their sniffer even works anymore. So it's a tough situation for seniors. And we deal with a lot of children of seniors who call us, and we check on their family. We put them on a routine. We might tackle one room a week. We had a customer a few years back where we literally worked one day a week for 6 months on that home to get it emptied out so that it could go on the market. We had the luxury of time in that situation so that we could work at it gradually and address each room and each item as it came up. But it's an investment because, in all honesty, I will plug, I have a really great staff. They're hardworking, they're conscientious, they have great empathy for our customers, but the biggest thing is that they work really, really hard. And, you know, in this day and age, to find people that are trustworthy and safe in someone's home, they're
patience.
Not free.
And
yes,
patient.
Very
patience
patient.
Has to be a
yes.
big selling point
yes.
for you because, again, you're going to get people on all different sides of this
yes.
coming towards you, and you've got to be able to clearly and state this is what should be done. Not a policeman, but this is what should be done.
Yes, and I am a big proponent of our local resources, whether it happens to be not just the sale facilities we have in the Thumb, or the people who do estate sales, or our Thumb Industries, our donation centers, 501c3s, whatever it might be, up to and including our local law enforcement, because sometimes if we see situations that are not safe, I want somebody aware of it. And so I need to let them know. I mean, we ran into a situation where a lady had 13 cats. And she could barely take care of herself. And I'm not the senior citizen police by any means, but I discussed with her, how are we going to do this? Because her house, the cats, the urine and the feces from the cats, you know, it carries pathogens, and I was really, really seriously concerned about her, and she had no family. So if it was my mom, I'd sure want someone to step in and take care of them.
Well, and then there's the animals themselves. They need proper care.
Yes.
I mean, you may love them, but if you can't care for them, find them somebody who can.
Yes, exactly.
Do you get problems sometimes where things are spread out too far? Sometimes people up here come here for the summer and they have a place down south for the winter, and they don't know what's down there and what's up here, and you're trying to figure out, you know, well, that must be down in Florida or Arizona because it's not here. And it just seems like that could be a whole nother can of worms.
We're really happy when people want to address those situations, because what we do is video it, or we take photos of the rooms. And then it goes into a notebook, and we keep one of those notebooks in our file for them. But we also send them with that notebook, so they know at each residence. Well, no,
going to Florida.
Exactly. Unfortunately.
They'd have to get somebody down there to take care of that. But yes. I would imagine you thinking, you know, well, I wanted to give you this. I think I took it down there, though.
Yes.
And you don't. You come up to these things where you just don't know
where did I leave it, and then was it, or we've actually had the situation where they come home to the summer house and things are missing, and they didn't realize that they were that someone would had been in there. Now, maybe it was as simple as a kid came and got something while they were home or whatever, or maybe something was damaged when that sump pump quit running for a while or whatever, and it's gone. So we try to, for those customers who want, we will photograph their rooms, and we can even do a written inventory.
That protects you as well as that.
Yes. In fact, everything that when we're working with consignment auctions, and we're putting together a list, We have backed up the 30-foot trailer, and I have loaded that thing up for people, and we have driven it to consignment auctions. What we do is we photograph every piece, we list it, we do all of the sale forms for the auction company, and then we put all that in a folder, and then when the sheet comes from the auction company with all of the list of what went for what, we check it off. And one time we had a situation where we took three loads in a 30-foot trailer to auction, and the particular auction house that we were working with, we lost one item. We lost one item. Happened to be a big box of Christmas items. And
loan got mislabeled or
yes,
somewhere else.
Or the label fell off or whatever. Well, this particular auction house found that item and they sold it. And 3 years later, my customer got a check for $30. So, what does that make me want to do? More business with that auction house, because they proved that they were doing it right.
Very good.
So,
you have the firm Integrit Cleaning
yes.
and Organizing Service. We've talked about the cleaning part of it. Do you do more than that?
Yes, we've...
You talked before the show that, you know, there you have problems with people who are hoarding.
Yes.
We've all seen the show.
Yes.
Are we talking like that? Or are
yes.
we talking, you know, oh, they have a lot of stuff, but there isn't like a half an inch wide pathway through the living room?
Yes, there is.
Oh, dear.
We, if you've watched the show Hoarding, yes, we've encountered those situations. And the very, very first thing that I want to say is in every single one of my experiences with one of those hoarding situations, it is all driven by someone having a serious PTSD issue in their life, or a significant emotional trauma, and that is a hoarding is a mentally diagnosable affliction, and unfortunately, it's more rampant than people think, because there's two types of hoarding. There's the actual filth hoarding, and then there is the collecting hoarding.
Collecting is stuff. Filth hoarding is when you don't even take the garbage out.
Yes, yes. The filth hoarding, that's when we go into a situation with protective gear.
Are these usually people who kind of recognize they have a problem, they just can't help themselves, or does it go both ways?
Both ways. In most cases, I will say that they acknowledge that they have a situation, and they truly, in their heart of hearts, they want to combat that affliction. But when they're dealing with it, it is a really, really stressful time. But the big thing is the shame that goes with it, the embarrassment and the shame, which is so demoralizing to them. And a lot of people who think, and there's different levels of hoarding too, but when I go into a home and I'm working with someone, the very first thing they say to me is, "Oh my God, you've never seen anything this bad." And it's like, nobody can surprise me, you know, and I'm an old farm girl. There isn't anything I'm afraid to clean up, but
because you've cleaned it all.
Yes. And it was good exercise.
Well, you didn't say it was fun. how do people get involved with the firm? Do families contact you? Is this something maybe through the courts, you know, where a person is to have somebody look over their stuff and they say, you know, this isn't sanitary, this isn't safe, this isn't a good way to live. They need to, do you get it from many different sources in the ways that people approach your Integrit to do
yes.
this work?
We get contacted in a variety of ways. In some situations, we're contacted by medical professionals. And of course, you know, this comes down to personal choice, because as much as I would like to give our services away, I need to pay my people. They work hard and I need to be fair with them.
And when you're in people's homes, there's insurance and everything else you have to carry.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's all of the rules of business apply. So when we get contacted, sometimes it's by a son or a daughter of an elderly person, and they recognize that mom and dad are failing or unable to keep things up, and we gently move in and help them. Sometimes it's a situation where someone's landed in the hospital, and now they realize how extreme the situation is at home, and we get called in.
Could have helped lead to the problems they have too.
Yes.
Because they're not taking care of themselves.
Yes. So when we go into a home and it's a hoarding situation, now we have to we take it up to another level, because in order for them to ever be able to come home and live, to have caregivers come into a home, sometimes we have to clean the home first, so that a caregiver can come into a safe environment.
And you can take care of the consequences of it, but you're not there to deal with the emotional part when they come home and they just start doing it all over again.
Yes. Some families hire us as a maintenance to kind of keep it up. And we become very attached to these people. They're part of our world. And most families are really super appreciative. And so it's all about encouragement and helping and things like that. So we don't want them to fall back into that pattern if we can help it.
Is there any, I guess maybe I shouldn't go this way, but is there any assistance in the cost? Since it is a medical condition, does it allow for some plans to get rid of the problem?
Unfortunately, aside from an individual seeking their own therapy, we have never ever realized any funds from any kind of a insurance or anything like that. It's been family members picking up the tab, or the individual themselves, which is kind of sad, because it's a really, really needed thing, because it has such an impact on their health. And yet we're our vocation, our job is kind of unrecognized as being that important to that component.
It sets the stage for how well they live at home.
Yes. And, you know, seniors on fixed incomes and things, we had a gentleman about a year ago who thought that minimum wage was still around the $4 level. So, you know, when they get a price tag for doing this kind of work, sometimes it's a little bit of sticker shock.
Well, and a lot of times the older you get, your older memories are stronger than your more recent ones. And
yes,
you remember when it was $4 an hour, because
yes,
I was doing backbreaking work at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I remember, too.
But that's part of the problem is the memories and such that
yes,
the new ones fade and they want to hang on to the old ones.
Yes. Yes. I think probably our main thing is families need to have conversations. And they need to be, you know, they need to have these tough conversations with mom and dad and see what they can do to maybe push things along a little bit, because somebody in the family is going to end up doing some work if things aren't addressed earlier.
And if it were addressed earlier, you might have not had to deal with it as soon as it came up.
Yes, because again, we get back to those situations where they end up with a decision being taken away from them. So if you end up and you have a serious health crisis and you land in, let's say you land in assisted living or you land somewhere and you don't have that that help, all of a sudden now you're forced to, or in order to be in your home, you have to comply with things that you didn't want to do in the first place. So,
okay, people need this type of service. How do they get a hold of you?
Our office, we cover the entire Thumb area. We're in here in Sand Lake and Tuscola, and we have a shop located right now out of Harbor Beach, and our phone number is 989-550-2208. And we're also on Facebook, and Tanya's our office manager, and she screens the Facebook. So if someone sends us a message, we try to get back to you as soon as we can. I will tell you, we've had significant growth, and I suspect that growth will continue, because there's not too many people who don't have someone in their life that's an aging baby boomer or part of that greatest generation. So,
I only have a little apartment, but I see a whole lot of stuff that I don't know what anybody would ever want with it. But I just can't get rid of it. It's just, okay, well, part of it's lazy, but
we helped a mom the other probably about a year ago, and her son is in his early 50s, and we cleaned out his high school closet. So, you know, it was time for him to take his things.
You got rid of his bell bottoms and his tie-dye shirts?
Yes, and it was fun, because it was just a walk back in time, and everything was in great shape, and I'm sure nostalgia-wise, or maybe even monetary-wise, some of his things had great value.
But they were things he'd never fit into anymore.
No. Yeah.
That's so, usually as you grow older, you can't fit into your younger clothes.
Exactly. The reason that I love people who donate things or sell things or whatever like that at consignments is that someone may enjoy that article just as much as you did, or maybe even more. And we've even heard of a few things where things have gone for sale and it's been picked up by movie companies, because they're looking for their props for movie rooms and things. So if you have something that's old like that, it may not be trash. It may not be dumpster worthy. It might be perfect for some movie set down the road.
It doesn't even have to work. It's just a prop.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for stopping out, sharing some info. Again, it's Integrit Cleaning and Organizing Service. You're on State Street in Harbor Beach.
Yes.
They can get information from you at 989-550-2208, and then find out how you can help and maybe what they need to do before you get there, so that their ducks are in line before your ducks line up.
Yes.
To get things a-moving.
Yes. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And we really like working with our people, our customers, because, you know, I'm a firm believer in you know, but for the grace of God. So.
And you're always looking for people who can help as well.
Yes, if there's people that really kind of enjoy this kind of work, and we're always looking for people who have some motivation and like to help people. Empathy's got to be the number one reason why you work for us.
Very good. My guest today on the program has been Connie Kramer. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up, we'll be checking the latest in the news in just a few.